is Nora Rawlinson of Early Word. Welcome to First Flights, the Penguin Debut Author Program, a unique opportunity for librarians to be the first to get to know the authors of major new titles coming out in the next few months. If you haven't already, you can join First Flights by signing up on earlyword.com. You'll receive advanced copies of forthcoming debut novels, and will have the opportunity to join a live online chat with each author. Today, I'm here in the Penguin Studios with Amy Brill, author of The Movement of Stars, her first novel coming from Riverhead in April. Welcome, Amy.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
You know, I've had a really good time getting to know you through your Twitter feed, and I recommend anybody out there to sign up because you express a great personality through it. I found out that we share a nightmare.
Really? Which nightmare is that?
That's forgetting to drop a class that you're failing.
Yes, I've had that dream many times, unfortunately.
Were you perhaps dreaming that as you were trying to finish your book?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's hard to say because it took me most of my adult life to finish my book. So I think I've had every possible
anxiety dream
that you can imagine. but luckily, it all worked out well in the end. So
your bio says you've been a writer and producer for TV, for both MTV and PBS. So you worked on a documentary for MTV about AIDS. So one has to ask, what on earth makes you want to write a book?
Well, my bio is slightly misleading. I did produce numerous documentaries for MTV. I also wrote and researched many programs that were what MTV called pro-social programming, which are shows that are meant to be educational in some way or help message out to young people in partnership with a nonprofit. In that case, it was the Kaiser Family Foundation. Wanted to educate young people about preventing sexually transmitted diseases, preventing HIV, preventing unwanted pregnancy. I also worked on shows about education, partly funded by the Gates Foundation, in which young people, we tried to empower them to change anything about their school that they were not happy with. Worked on some civics stuff, Rock the Vote. I also wrote for a lot of other shows there and did content development for PBS. Many, many years ago, I worked on shows about the arts and did some online dialogue, fostering online dialogue about the arts for some PBS shows.
So you definitely have the writing chops.
I have.
But what made you want to do a novel?
Well, I've always, fiction has been my first love my entire life. In fact, when I first began working with Penguin, and I filled out some questionnaire that they provided for authors. One of the questions was, how long have you wanted to be a writer? Is this a lifelong dream? And it seemed that they were asking the question in a sort of tongue-in-cheek way, but in my case, the answer is literally, this is my lifelong dream. There's almost nothing, I've written almost everything that there is to write in English. I've been a copywriter, a freelance writer, I've written documentaries, I've written web copy, I literally have written everything.
Short stories?
I've written short stories. And then I was writing this novel, and writing this novel, and writing this novel, and writing this novel, and really, it's the only thing I've ever really dreamed of doing was writing a novel and publishing it. So, yeah.
Your book is set in Nantucket in the 1840s. What drew you to that period and place?
Well, I happened on the story that inspired the character. I happened on the character that inspired my character by chance. I was living on Cape Cod, working in a very small bookshop in 1996, and I took myself on a day trip to Nantucket. And on the ferry to Nantucket, I picked up a little flyer aimed at tourists, such as myself, and there was a tiny squib that said, come and see the home of the famous girl astronomer from Nantucket.
Girl astronomer, I love that.
And then it went on to detail Maria Mitchell's life and accomplishments, and she was this young amateur astronomer and mathematician who grew up in this isolated community, born in 1818 on Nantucket, only had a high school education, went on to discover a comet using her amateur telescope, and became this sort of world-renowned astronomer and the founding professor of astronomy at Vassar College. And so I just couldn't get this idea of a girl astronomer out of my head. And I pictured this young woman in a somber dress, alone on her roof, night after night after night, searching the skies for something new to appear.
Interesting reason why she's involved in this. Her family has a business that's very specific to the whaling community.
Yes, the family of Mariah Mitchell, well, her father specifically, rated all the chronometers that the whaling fleet Nantucket had. Nantucket dominated the global whaling empire. And so the ships would come into port, and each ship had a maritime timekeeper called a chronometer that needed to be adjusted whenever they were in their home port, and that required
observations. And that was important because...
to keep time, to keep accurate time at sea. What you need, in order to determine your longitude at sea, you need to be able to keep accurate time.
So you won't know where you are.
Or you won't know where you are, and that would be bad. And so there are other books. Dava Sobel's has a wonderful book about the history of developing a working chronometer, a clock that would keep time at sea, no matter the vagaries of weather or rolling waves or whatnot. So Mariah Mitchell's father, and then she herself, would conduct the nightly observations that were needed to properly adjust the chronometers of the whaling fleet. And so I got off the ferry and I thought, well, I have no agenda here. I'm going to go wander up the street and I'm going to see this little house that belonged to this person. And I was completely captivated by the setting. Nantucket is this remote island, and it maintains this incredible character of cobbled streets and little shingled saltbox houses and roses everywhere and the beautiful shoreline. And it just, my imagination took flight.
Does this often happen to you, or was it just a specific person that did it to you?
It happens to me quite a bit.
Yeah.
But it doesn't often turn into a 15-year dedicated saga of trying to tell this person's
story. One of the things that our audience will love, you write about Mariah, but you turn her into Hannah.
Yes.
And she's a librarian. I love this.
She is a librarian.
This sort of antique phraseology. She was a junior librarian at the Nantucket Athenaeum. And was that true of the character you based this on?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Hannah Price, my character, shares a lot of attributes with Mariah Mitchell. The time, the place, the setting, the Quaker community, and her endeavors, the math that she's doing, and her desire to discover a comet so that she can contribute something to the global, the burgeoning astronomy, community, are all drawn from Mariah Mitchell's life. But my character and her eventual interaction with Isaac Martin, the whaler from Assortus, who sort of comes into her life as a student and becomes much more than that, are completely invented. So the book is a hybrid of details from a real person's life and inspired by her ambition and her accomplishments, but it's not about her. The character is actually an invention.
Right. So great. So now the book's coming out in April, and
thank
we
you.
Really look forward to toasting your success when it comes out. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Nora.
Thanks to all of you out there for listening. If you're not a member of Penguin's First Flights program, you can sign up at earlyword.com. And please come back for a live chat with Amy on March 21st from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Thanks.
I shipped on board of a Liverpool liner.
Way, hey, roll and go.
And we roll all night and we roll till day. To spend my money along with Sally Brown.